It was Joseph Campbell that said these words, and I quote, "There is perhaps nothing worse than reaching the top of the ladder and discovering that you're on the wrong wall." I think that sums up the story tonight. I heard that quote many years ago, didn't know who said it. Imagine spending your whole life climbing the ladder of success, or just focusing on one specific aspect of your life, and then coming to the end of your life and having huge regrets. This is the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son says to his dad, "Dad, give me what is coming to me. Give me everything. I want it now." He was very focused on himself. And so he focused on self, he focused on property, he focused on wealth, he focused on power perhaps, because having wealth you have power. He focused on pleasure. And so the world, if you go to the bookstore and you listen or you read books on how to be wealthy, the world has volumes, volumes of books. How to do this, how to be wealthy, how to be happy. What most people don't know is the people that buy those books, 95 or 98% of the people that buy those books don't even finish those books, let alone put those philosophies to practice. Wealth, pleasure, power, honor. The world says that if you go after these things, if you set your ladder against these four things, wealth, pleasure, power, and honor, that eventually, when you get to the top of the ladder, you will be happy. The other day I was watching a video of people who are really famous, celebrities, actors, politicians, people who have a lot of money. These are people that are in the inner circle. These are people that have limousines, they have butlers, they have a lot of wealth, they have a lot of homes. And what all of them had in common was they were telling their audience that these things in and of themselves never satisfy. Wealth, it's a good thing. It's not a great thing. It's not God. But it's a good thing. But it's not a great thing because it's not God. And when a person gets hooked by running after wealth, thinking that they're going to be satisfied by getting more, they're going to find out that they're not going to be satisfied. Let me ask you this. Is there anything in this world that truly satisfies? I mean, maybe you want to buy a new car. It's springtime, so you go, "I want to buy a new car." And then you get it, and you're so excited. You have this buzz of excitement, but how long does it last? It doesn't last that long. Or you know it, the car's dirty and you're thinking about something else. Or pleasure. Could be anything. Pleasure's good. It's not great because it's not God. And when a person gets hooked to think that life is all about pleasure, like the prodigal son, and they go after pleasure, after pleasure, after pleasure, it's never, ever enough. It's almost like people get addicted. They need another hit. They did this, and it was pleasurable, but the buzz goes away. And they look for the next thing that's going to bring them pleasure. Power. Nothing wrong with power. Power's good. But it's not great because it's not God. And so when people focus their whole life on having power, and in this interview that I was watching, many, many powerful people, bodyguards, celebrities, they were very powerful and are very powerful, very famous people. But they said power alone doesn't satisfy completely. And honor. I mean, I went to seminary, I got a master's degree, I was asked to stay for an STM degree, which was a graduate degree. What a great honor. I worked on another master's degree. That was kind of neat. Honor there. You know, someone can say to you, "That was a great job that you did." But how long does that last? Then you're seeking for the next thing. You're looking for the approval of someone, or maybe you're looking for the approval of someone that's not going to give you the approval. It's okay. It's good. Honor is good. There's nothing wrong with it. We honor people. It's a good thing. But it's not a great thing because it's not God. And when people get hooked into thinking that life is about wealth, pleasure, power, and honor, they're disappointed. I mean, the prodigal son, what does he do? He runs east looking for a sunset. That's my favorite line. He runs east looking for a sunset. He's never going to find fulfillment there. He's never going to find fulfillment in focusing on himself, on wealth, or pleasure, or power, or honor. And it's taken away from him. And luckily, mercifully, it's taken away. Thank God it's taken away from him. Because it's only when he hits bottom, it's only when it's taken away from him that he comes to his senses. But the world says, seek after power, seek after wealth, seek after honor, seek after pleasure, and you'll be satisfied. My brothers and sisters, we have been wired for God. We're never truly going to be happy until we find our fulfillment in God. All of these things are good, but they're not great. And we can use these things. We can use money. We can use power. We can use honor. We can use pleasure. There's nothing wrong with having a good time, as long as we keep it in perspective. All of these things become a trap. A lot of times people think, you know, if I sin, I wonder if God's going to punish me. I wonder if I should step to the side because he's going to hit me with lightning. I wonder if I do this specific sin, whether God is going to punish me. And what people really don't realize is the sin becomes the punishment. The sin becomes the punishment. The sin becomes the trap. People think that freedom is doing whatever you want. That's not freedom. Freedom is doing the right thing. Doing whatever you want can be a trap. I mean, I know how to speak English. I don't know any other language. I can't speak any other language. I studied Hebrew. I studied Greek. I knew how to read it, but I learned how to speak by being around people that spoke English, and then I learned how to speak English, you know, and I can write, and I can speak, and I can do all of those things. But I don't have the freedom to say whatever I want. I mean, there's certain things that are certainly not appropriate, and I wouldn't say them. Freedom is the ability to do the right thing. Sin, thinking that it's freedom, becomes a trap. Ask the alcoholic. They'll tell you. Just one more drink and I'll be happy. But they don't realize that that becomes the trap. Or the person that's addicted to drugs or pornography or any addiction, the internet, anything. The sin becomes the punishment. It becomes the trap. And when someone is trapped into sin, like the prodigal son, he can't think correctly. He doesn't have correct thinking. The prodigal son, when he hits bottom, he's looking at his situation, he sees that he's in a terrible situation. He has spent all of his livelihood. He's spent all of his inheritance. His wealth is taken away. He's working for a Gentile feeding pigs, and he wishes that he could eat the food of the pigs. He comes to his senses, but he doesn't have a clear understanding. He says to himself, and this is interesting, it's really subtle. He says, you know what I'll do? My father's hired hands have it better than I do. I know what I'll do. I'll go back to my dad and I'll work for him. I'll be his servant. It was Einstein that said, you cannot solve a problem with the same thinking that got you into that problem. And so it is the same with sin. A person that has fallen into sin or has fallen into a wrong path, they don't have the right thinking to get themselves out of it. You look at any person that's overwhelmed. You look at any person that is stressed out because of life. They don't have the resources to get themselves out of it because of their thinking. They don't see a way, even though there is a way. Most likely they don't see it. Because you cannot solve a problem with the same thinking that got you into that problem in the first place. And so this man says, I'm going to go back to my dad and my dad's going to hire me. It's okay. It's good, but it's not great. The miracle is that the solution is outside of his thinking. That's the miracle. The miracle is that God's mercy is so huge and so large that he can't even conceive of it. He's thinking that he's going to go back and beg and be a servant. And his father sees him far off and he has compassion on him. And he runs out to greet him. And he says, "Dad, I'm sorry. I've done this, I've done that. I'm not worthy to become your son." He's thinking inside the box. And the father embraces him with grace and mercy. You can't solve the problem with the same thinking that got you into the problem. And grace happens outside of our thinking. That God is so merciful that he gives us grace and love that we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. And it's outside of our awareness, and it's outside of so many people's awareness. They can't conceive that God would love someone unconditionally. David learned that, didn't he? I mean, David, I don't know how much money he had, but I think he was probably wealthy. I know he's powerful. I know he had a lot of honor, and he had some pleasures that he shouldn't have had. He was seduced. David, King David, wealth, power, honor, pleasure. The woman he took that shouldn't have been his, right? But then he came to his senses. Psalm 51, we say it during Holy Week, I believe a Good Friday. "Have mercy on me, according to your steadfast love." That's Hesed. It's his covenant love. It is his faithfulness that is beyond our comprehension. That God is faithful even when we're not. That God keeps his covenant word, his promise, even when David breaks it. Even when we break it. Because we all have sinned. It was St. Thomas Aquinas. He said, if you really want to be happy, he says, despise what Jesus despised on the cross and love what he loved. Wow. Now this is really deep. And I don't even know if I can explain it. And I don't even know if I comprehend it completely. But what St. Thomas Aquinas was saying is if you really, truly want to be happy, despise what Jesus despised on the cross and love what he loved on the cross. Jesus, as we're going into Palm Sunday and Good Friday next week, think about Jesus dying on the cross. What did he despise? Did he have great wealth? No. I mean, even his garments were stripped from him. The soldiers gambled away the only thing that he really had. He had no great wealth. When he was giving out his last breath, he wasn't thinking about his wealth. He despised it. Another word for that is he was detached, totally detached. The next thing, pleasure. Oh, there is no pleasure in dying on the cross. Ultimate pain and suffering. He had no pleasure. He despised it. He wasn't seeking after pleasure. If he were seeking after pleasure in the Garden of Gethsemane, he would have said, "Father, I'm not doing this. I'm out of here." Honor. What about honor? He was crucified between two thieves. People criticized him. Even one of them said, "If you're really, truly the Son of God, why don't you call all of the angels down? Or why don't you save us so that we all can be saved if you're truly the Messiah?" No honor at all. And as far as power, he couldn't move. Thomas Aquinas says, if you really, truly want to be happy, despise the things that Jesus despised on the cross. He despised or detached from wealth, pleasure, honor, and power. They're good, but they're not great. They're not God. And so what did Jesus find his happiness in? Doing the will of God. It's just that simple. Doing the will of God. And serving God and serving others. See, the prodigal son was so focused on himself. Me, 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 me. It's the song of sorrow. If a person's depressed, they're only thinking of themselves. If a person is suicidal, they're only thinking of themselves. If a person is miserable, they're only thinking of themselves. Jesus focused towards God and towards others. And what he loved was doing the will of God. And it was there that he was in paradise.